Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So this is just a little warning. Kate, Gary and myself are going to be talking about our faith stories, our times growing up in the church, when we left the church and what our life is like now. We just really want people to know, and we understand that there is many stories out there, and we just we don't want to hurt anybody or trigger anybody. Yep. So please just think about that before pressing play.
And we don't talk about a lot of terrible things that happen in churches in general.
No.
The Royal Commission, any of that.
No, but we know.
We do.
All of it.
And if that is just triggering for you to even think about.
It's okay.
That's
skip
okay.
It, and we'll be back to regular pea life next week.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week it's part two with the Peas and Gary Bean, and we're talking all things faith and our faith stories.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Kate. Hello, Gary.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mandy and Kate. Hello, everyone who's listening.
We should ask Gary, what's the weather like?
Oh, yeah, we forgot to say the weather last time.
That's all right.
Oh, no, we're going to have to go back and re-record that entire episode.
Oh, no.
Because the weather's a whole week different. It's gorgeous. Southeast Queensland in winter at the moment is just heaven. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. It's, I guess, the maximum's about 20.
Oh.
And we've had a lot of rain, so everything's green.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Oh, what a place to live. Oh, no, it's grey.
It's cold.
Cold.
Gray, but it's not too cold today. I think it's like 15 or something.
There's blossoms are coming out. Yes. So that's like we're coming spring.
Yeah. Yes, but
but still cold and raining.
It's a lot of mud.
Yeah.
But it is beautiful and green as well.
Yeah, it is.
Very, very pretty.
Blossoms, my favourite time. And the wattle is massive.
Yes, I'm back on the hay fever meds.
Yeah, yeah.
Hay fever
beautiful
season,
big wattle trees. I just think, I
smell
love
them when you go
wattle.
For a walk.
Yes.
Oh, stunning, but makes your
beautiful.
Eyes
beautiful. Okay. So we're back for part two of our
religious deconstruction journeys,
or whatever we want to name it.
Yes, but that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Yep.
So, we sort of talked a little bit what it was like to walk away, but can you remember the first big events like Easter, Christmas?
Yes.
Like, what was that like, Gary?
Ooh, good question. I think the walking away process for me was mixed up with moving house. And so, it's a good question. I guess I went on to Easter on Facebook or something.
Yes.
To find people who might connect with. It was a significant, because Easter to me was the most important time of the year.
Yes, yes.
Not Christmas.
No,
Easter.
Easter's
definitely
for
Christians, yeah.
Yeah, so I began looking for, you spoke last week, Mandy, about being a humanist, and I think probably that's as close as it, I could put it to what I would describe myself as. And so as a humanist, I would still try to celebrate this ancient pagan ritual of, you know, spring in the Northern Hemisphere, which is what Easter is.
That's right. And it's not here.
And it's coming to winter here.
Nothing makes
That's
sense.
Right.
No.
And I would go looking for green shoots coming through concrete, or I would go looking for, you know, any symbol of new life. And I would celebrate that. And I would think about, and I would have my own ritual. And sometimes as a family, we would have a kind of a non-religious ritual where we would just stop for a moment and think, rightio, life and death cycles. Winter, spring, summer, there's new life all the time. Let's celebrate that and then eat chocolate.
Yeah. I remember taking the girls to church and they were three and they went into the Sunday school and they came out, or one of them came out with this picture of Jesus on the cross. And I remember thinking, I can't take them into these things. I will never take my children anywhere near a church before Easter. This is so, I am an early childhood educator. This is not what three-year-olds should be drawing pictures about.
No.
And I was so shocked, but I wasn't shocked about that for myself growing up in it. But as a mother, I was like, I'm not having my three-year-olds drawing a man on the cross with nails in his hands.
Interesting.
I refuse.
We talked about his murder, essentially.
I refuse. Yeah. I thought, I have to keep them away.
Yeah.
And again, that's theology from a mum's perspective, not a dad's perspective, isn't it?
On my watch.
We had, growing up in our church, we had these, they were called the Blue Bible Stories, and it was someone had rewritten the Bible for children with drawings. And, of course, by the time the twins came along, I wasn't reading them anymore. Anyway, when they're about four, they found them and they're like, Mom, look at these books. There's people killing people. And because it's like, you know, the Jericho walls falling down. I was like, oh, we can't read them.
Yes.
And they thought they were the most exciting, violent books.
Of course.
But my other children.
It's adultery everywhere.
Yeah, everything.
I mean.
You know, David's looking at the woman on the Bathsheba on the roof.
Having a bath on the roof.
Like, I'm not reading these stories to my four-year-old. But
I know. It shocks you.
I was like, I've got to get rid of these books.
Yes.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are really big adult concepts. And I knew them off
by
heart.
Well, they're not written for children. They're not meant to be read like... Like a book, like a novel anyway. Yes, that's a, again, that's a mum's theological perspective.
Look, Mum, there's Jesus on the cross. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It was, yeah.
She was a really good drawer.
Yes, she was.
So you can imagine.
Oh, no. So it was graphic.
You know.
I know. And my mum would always say, Easter's got nothing. It's a pagan ritual, the eggs. It's about fertility. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus dying.
Wow.
We need to remember it's about him dying for us, for our sins, which I still to this day don't understand how one person can die and every shit thing that anyone's done ever in the whole world is fixed by that one person dying. Anyway, that's another story. But
And every other theologian for 2,000 years.
Like, this doesn't make any sense.
It's tricky.
It's tricky, but I just... And then she went through a phase of we could only have carob, unsugared carob.
Oh, no.
Oh, the Easter eggs were disgusting. That's
no joy.
It just makes fluid build like in your mouth. You're like, can't even eat this. Anyway.
Looking back on it then, and now as we're parents too, do you feel like it's better to have had parents who had the integrity to stick with what they believed and sort of force it on their kids?
Mm.
Or would it have been better if they were hypocrites and let you be yourself?
Well, I hope to think I'm a hypocrite that's letting my kids be themselves. So I don't know.
I'm really proud of my parents for doing what they – like they literally moved out of the city to the country to a block of land where they could grow their own food. It had to have running water, had to be close enough to the city to evangelize but far enough away to cope during the end of time. It had to be near mountains. Like my mum and dad really, really did what they believed.
Yeah.
I mean –
And that's admirable, right?
Yes, it's so admirable. That's right. Because people, like my dad had a mainstream job. People would have been like, what are you doing? You know, people would have mocked them for that.
Yes.
We were mocked all the time growing up as children in that church, you know?
Yeah.
I think now when people mock Mormons and Jehovah's Witness, there are children in there.
Yes, that's right.
That don't know and that they are being mocked all the time and it's not their choice, you know? But I don't know that I would I think it's actually wrong to bring up your kids like that and to give them your belief system, because but they believe it's 100% true. So, you know, I suppose it'd be like me saying to my children, well, the ocean isn't full of water, you know, and they're like, but I can see it, you know. So for my parents couldn't not do it. But
what do you think, Gary?
Yeah, I think I'm just thinking about what my kids might think of me as a parent. You know, they say the art of growing up is learning how to forgive your parents. And I think that's true for all of us, no matter how good an experience we've had. And I would certainly look back on it and appreciate and admire someone who lived with integrity. But I would also hope they had some humility and were willing to allow for the fact that their belief isn't the only one. And when my kids are growing up, I want them to have their beliefs, not mine. I want them to be free to live in a world where they can love and be loved and be who they are, whatever their gender identity or whatever. So, but I don't, so I do admire the intent behind my parents. Was my mum, actually. Dad was never a churchgoer.
Right.
And that was always an interesting dynamic. But mum was, and mum's a saint. And so I do admire that and appreciate that. And she allowed me to be myself. So I think that was the best of both worlds.
And I should say, my dad up until he died and my mum, they fiercely love me. Like, it might make them a little bit sad, the lifestyle that I'm choosing.
Yeah.
But they love me. So I've never felt any less love from them.
Yeah, same. Absolutely.
Never. And I know people go through that. Like, I
know, of course.
I had a friend that worked with me at the supermarket when I was 17, and she left quite a conservative religion. She was forced to, because her boyfriend was the butcher and her parents wouldn't let her come home. So, and they never spoke to her again, right?
Yes, her mum, many stories, you know. Yes.
So I haven't.
In the name of a God of love.
Yep. Yeah. I haven't lived through anything like that. No, my parents were at my house every weekend.
That's right.
You know, so I don't know that pain, and I know there'll be people listening that do.
Yeah.
But, I have so much joy when one of my kids says something to me that I don't really believe the same, and I'm like, wow, you thought of this, you know?
Free thinking.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. It's still, I think it'll be a gift till I die that I can think differently to people and be their friend. Like, I did not know growing up that people could have completely different beliefs, both be okay with it, and both be friends, because I didn't have any friends that didn't believe what I believed.
My friends all have their own story to tell about being alongside me. And we've talked through that. People have listened to me all these years. What was helpful to me was that I was in a book group with all my old friends, and so we were still meeting. So I still was able to see them every month, and I still do. So I think that that was really tremendous for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could still see them. Yeah.
Yeah. And they, I mean, I suppose you've excluded because you're not doing the things they're doing, but they didn't set out to exclude you.
No, never. No, I've only ever been included. And, yeah.
They don't feel like,
well, they've got their story to tell, but I think they just love me.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. And I don't know, Kate, if that's a difference in denominations and
maybe.
It was certainly could be, and generational as well.
Yeah, but, that's right.
Kate, you said something last week, and I wanted to ask you about it, and we ran out of time. And I wanted to ask you, somebody said to you, you're so different now. So I guess it raises the question, you know, are we different now? Who are we now? But in what ways do you think that person was saying you're different?
Well, I think without meaning to, I was quite judgmental, and I think it was just who I was. Like, if you're brought up with a set of rules that everyone has to follow, what happens when someone doesn't follow them? You judge it. Yep. Even if – I don't think anyone at church would say they're judgy, but you just are.
You are.
And I definitely was judgmental about things that I have no judgment about now. You know, so many things in life, I think, oh, you do that, that's fine, you do that. Like, I just don't feel – it's actually quite a gift. But, you know, a friend of mine said to me recently, when I met you, you didn't drink alcohol. You went to church Friday night, all day Saturday. you didn't let your kids go to any of the parties at school because they were always on Saturdays. Mm. So my older kids can remember. They can clearly, they were 9 and 11.
Mm.
So they can remember going every week and then stopping.
Mm.
They've got interesting stories to tell about growing up with two mums, really, you know.
Yeah.
And she said to me, you're so much more confident. You're so much more aware of who you are. And she said, you're really funny, and I didn't know you were funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. And I thought, actually,
that's beautiful.
I don't think I was funny.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
If being judgmental is kind of comes with the territory, doesn't it? You may not be in your heart by inclination a judgmental person, but if you've got rules and regulations and beliefs that you've subscribed to, you automatically have to see the world differently.
Yeah.
And you are judging whether you mean it or not.
Yeah.
I remember once, this might come up in a Make a Difference story. I'll talk about it later. That's okay. What about you, Mandy? Who are you now compared to who you were then?
Well, I started swearing, which I think was really interesting.
Mm.
And
liberating.
People really noticed that I was dropping the F word here, there and everywhere. And I think some of that came out of anger. But also I had worked in a parenting centre where I was around the world, all sorts of people in the world.
Mm.
So I think that had already started happening because I was working with people that were suffering. So, that was upsetting to people that I would just regularly be swearing because I would never have really done that.
I
knew to shut that down.
Yes, yes.
What else? Who else?
But the person you are,
do you feel
like you're a different person?
I think I truly can accept all people now.
Yeah.
Whereas I might have thought that, but I was judgmental.
Mm. I think that...
I don't know. I don't know how to reflect on that, actually. I'm a bit stunted because I feel like I am the same person.
Well, of course we are, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're not. You're still who you were, but things change.
I suppose it was, for me, it was just a freeing up of my time, but actually it was all consuming because I was so busy with the girls and everything they needed to do. Mm. Myself as a person.
Like when I was at church, I thought about all the things that I needed to do for all the people at church.
Yes.
Like I need to make soup for that person. I need to make sure that these kids are doing this activity. I need to like constantly helping others.
Yeah,
and
I feel like I haven't
load.
Been able to really shrug that.
Yeah. So do you think that is a church thing? It's a personality thing? It's a woman thing?
Yeah.
But I feel less – I really enjoyed not having that responsibility forced on me.
Yeah.
But I still feel that responsibility for other people.
I definitely do.
Mm. Mm. But
I don't know the answer, Gary.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
I
think back on some of the things I said.
Oh,
no.
Utterly make me cringe.
Oh,
now.
Of course.
And of course, the difference was I got to say them from a platform to hundreds of people at a time.
Gary, yes.
Who looked up to me and wanted guidance from me.
Well,
and,
same,
oh my
I suppose,
God.
As a worship leader. Yep.
Yeah.
The people who must have sat listening, feeling judged and excluded when I was blithely just simply saying what I thought was true and not occasionally someone would confront me and that was the best day of my life. It was very uncomfortable, but it was the best thing that could happen because I'd think, oh, shit, did I say that?
Yeah.
And that the attitude I had was the same as you. As soon as you've got the world in a box that, you know, there's in and there's out, then you just see everything that way and it seems right. But oh my, so I think I am a nicer person to meet.
Yep.
If you feel like you don't fit in somewhere, because you know, and or if you feel something. But yeah, I think I'm different in that sense. And I wouldn't have said when I was a teenager or a young minister to a parent, I wouldn't have said, yeah, let your kids become who they are, become whatever is true for them.
And, yes, no.
I wouldn't have said that.
No, no.
No, definitely not.
I feel like authenticity is so important to me that I don't know if there's been an enormous change. I feel like I was allowed to live in the world.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So
yeah.
So I when I stepped away, perhaps it was the busyness of it that I lost. But I was able to still be Mandy in the world.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, being a Seventh-day Adventist was a massive part of my identity.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It. I don't want to say the word cult because it's a recognized religion, but I think that's the closest word that I can find.
Yes.
So, you know, all of a sudden I could wear earrings. Like I remember getting my ears pierced when I was 21. I'd always wanted them pierced. And I remember going to church and someone coming up to me and saying, you really shouldn't be leading out with the children's divisions. That's really bad. I was 21.
Oh, no, come on.
I was a baby. I had a baby.
Yep.
And I was leading out in the kids' divisions. No one was nurturing me, you know. And now I've got like 8 earrings and I still look at them and think, oh, fuck yes, I can have them, right? I really love them, which is weird for an old woman to do. But that's, I think I shed my identity and I think that's why people say that I'm different because I am different.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I'm very different, yeah. But I don't know if I'm...
And I've only known Kate since then.
Yes.
So I can't say to you that I've noticed a change because I only met you afterwards.
Right. You did.
And we were in the throes of little twins.
Yeah, we didn't.
Plus all your other kids.
Wasn't a lot of philosophical discussion going on.
Quick, eat. Put that in your
mouth. Wipes? Have you got wipes?
Yeah. yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I am grateful. I am grateful to have been brought up in being different because I learned to stand up for what I believed in, even though I don't believe in that now. But if I am out somewhere and someone is being rude to someone, I'll call them out.
Mm.
Like I will stand up, you know, at church I'd be like, stand up and be counted. But I will.
Yep.
I won't allow bullying. I'm not scared to confront people. I don't like confrontation, but I'm not scared. If I really think something's wrong, I will say that's wrong. You know, you shouldn't hurt people or whatever it is. And I think that's from, you know, like I probably told the story before, but when I was a child, people would drive past the front of school and spit at us because Lindy Chamberlain was a Seventh-day Adventist.
Of course.
And they thought she murdered her baby. So therefore we're all baby murderers. So, you know, we went through, really tricky times and people would drive past the church and hurl abuse out the windows and, you know, which is why I still say there's children in those places.
Yes,
don't do that.
That's right.
So I think I really learned what it was like to grow up to be really – we were not allowed to be in the world. That's what we were told, you know.
Yeah,
do not be of the world.
That's very different.
Yeah, so
– that is different.
Yeah. I was in the world.
But in some ways I'm so grateful. Of course I wouldn't choose it if I'm honest, but I think it did form a huge part of my personality.
And what about the things that you – like for me, I was like, right, I'm going to get right into personality types. I'm going to get into star signs. I'm going to join a choir. I'm going to find all the things that can replace things.
Yep.
Did you guys do anything like that? You know, I gave my heart and soul to the twin mums.
Yes, I jumped into the kinder committee.
You know, did everything I could to find community.
Yeah, I was very involved on the school committees, ran the school committees. And I – really became in my time. I went to little concerts, bands, and comedy.
Yep.
Like I'd never been able to do that.
Yeah.
Once the boys were that old enough that they could stay home with their dad, that's what I would do. And I'm doing it less now because I'm with them a lot more, but that is still my true joy. And someone said to me the other day, because my best friend Rachel and I went with number one daughter to Ballpark Music, which I love, love, love. And someone said to me, live music is your religion, as I was just crying. And I said, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it brings me true joy.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Gary?
Oh, I don't think there was any deliberate strategy about replacing what I'd lost with something else, but that's what I did, of course. Mm. You know, you find connections with people, you find the things that you need in other places, and they're basically the same human being is doing the same thing they were doing beforehand. They're just doing it in a different way.
Yeah, that's
I felt free to explore lots of things, and I felt you know, everything was interesting, and everything, like you say, even astrology, Mandy. I mean, I haven't explored that, but I have explored things that I would have considered a waste of one's time, you know, before. And it's fascinating. So the world is a much more interesting place. And, you know, we've used the word world in the way that religious people use it.
I know. Yeah. People would be like, what
do they
mean?
Can't take us out. Yeah.
Don't be in the world. It's be the in the world, but not of it.
The
and world. So on.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, of course, there is only the world. That's it.
Yes. You know? We're all in it together.
There's nothing else.
It's the Christianese. I remember when I first heard that term and I was like, oh, it's a language.
It's a
I'm
language.
Blessed.
Yes.
I'm all those things. I remember going to Mother's Group, meeting my beautiful friend, and she said blessed, and I was like, bingo, Christian.
Yep.
And that language, that Christianese, comes from a mindset. It comes from a place of the way you see things, obviously. So if you see that there is an in and an out, there is us and then there's the world, then, of course, you have to try to find words to explain it. But so I feel the world has expanded
so much
for me much more, because Churches of Christ is this narrow little kind.
It's a little denomination, really.
Little denomination. Yeah. So I was a big fish in a small pond, you know, and it's always.
Oh, yeah, we know them.
It's always wise to look back and if you feel like a big fish and see how big the pond is, because you really.
That's true.
Yeah, you can lose your humility. But so the whole world is much more interesting and people are much more interesting to me. They're no longer saved souls or unsaved. They're no longer those who are in or out. They're people. And it's been quite liberating.
I agree. The world is a much bigger place. And I think I go places now. It might be the city. It might be a mountain. And I just think, lock it in. You are living this with no constraints. You don't have to live.
Isn't that interesting?
It's
exactly.
So interesting, yeah.
Oh. It's the opposite of what people think about atheism. They think, well, Christians believe in, you know, eternity and infinity, but atheists are stuck down on the planet.
No,
awe and wonder get killed by theology.
They do.
It's the thing. It's the human things, and that's where the music comes in, I suppose. But I'm more in awe and.
Yes, I agree. I am in awe. And I remember the first time I took the twins to the snow, and we were standing on top of a mountain, and there were just snow covered mountains everywhere. And Buzz said to me, "This is so beautiful, I can't breathe." And I just thought, and I said, "Just live in it." And we just sat there. And I know my mum would have said, "Someone made this for you. God created it. See those snowflakes? Everyone's individual, like you're individual, and you have to draw a lesson out of everything." And I was just able to say to him, "I know. This is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen as well." And we just stood there. And maybe that's the lesson, you know.
And maybe I feel like that when I see a mother with her child with a disability, and I just think, oh, I just know what you're living, and that's a connection that I've never felt. Like it could be some random stranger, and I feel like you're my person. That I didn't feel when I belonged somewhere where that our world wasn't represented.
No, it was not.
And I remember feeling that very clearly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I told that story in the book about where everyone was up on the stage and they were praying for all the children that were starting prep the next year. And I thought, there's not even one with glasses. All.
Yeah, how can it be an accurate representation?
It's just not. And I just thought, these are not my people. I want the people with AFOs and wheelchairs and all sorts of things.
Yeah, the neurodivergent kids who aren't standing still or
they're
refusing
my people.
To get up on
I need
stage.
To find them. Yep. And then I was just like finding them, and then Facebook was exploding, and then I found Gary, and, you know, we found our people in little tiny corners.
Oh, yeah, little corners.
I think you've just touched a point there. I think it's worth saying that there are churches and little communities that are approaching they try their best to be and they're messy, and they're not given credit for how important they are, all of that kind of thing. And we probably all experienced them. And good luck to those people, because they are a little oasis of light for me. Like, I was in this church in inner city Brisbane that has very much had that history. It's been very much for the marginalised and those who don't get welcomed into church. And we were sitting there, and it's in the basement of the church, because you're not allowed to have it in the church, you know, because it's not the real.
It's not real church.
But on Sunday night, and we went there to it, and this person strumming on the guitar at the front. It was Easter, and she said, "Well, happy Easter, everyone." and someone called out, "What's good about it?" And she said, "She said, oh, I don't know, I haven't thought about it. But anyway, let's sing." You know,
that's I know. They're
so
your people.
Precious and, yeah. and spontaneous and real.
Yes.
And, you know, instead of going into a theological debate about what Easter is, I don't know, I haven't thought about it. Let's just sing.
Sing. Yes.
The greatest.
That is the greatest.
I did go to one like that, but I found it so relaxed I couldn't cope. Because I was like, what do you mean it's not starting at 10 o'clock? Right? And yes. everyone was just pouring in for like 45 minutes. I'm thinking, I want to get in and out. What is going on here? And I was like, I can't cope with this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to because I thought, I think this could be my place.
And I think there are definitely people listening, hopefully they're still listening, who listen to us, who love their church. And, and we love that you do. And I think they've found those churches.
Yes.
You know, and some of them have said to us, you know, this is what happens at my church. And, you know, I was talking to a woman once and she said, when I go to church, someone takes my child and walks with them for the whole hour.
Yes,
so
incredible.
I can have that time. You know, people share it around at the church. So I know I know that that happens. Yes. I know it does.
Absolutely. I just didn't have the energy to be that person to lead that though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
No,
so you've got to have – you can't be leaning on the parents to then be running that – you know, that part of the church. You know what I mean? Because then people would say, well, how do you want it to look then?
Yeah,
I'm like, well,
no,
I can't lead this.
Yeah.
So I'm very conscious of people thinking that I can, that I have any energy.
Do not be fooled. I have no energy.
So I'm not to be trusted.
I am not the Energizer Bunny.
This is all
bunny.
Makeup.
Yeah, this
yes.
is all smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And did you, Gary, when you left, because you would have spent a lot of time reading religious books and publications. Like I know I did. I wrote for the Seventh-day Adventist Church publications. That was my job.
Wow.
What did you replace your reading with?
Well, I guess theology became philosophy and the Bible became biographies.
Mm.
I love to read people's stories and I love to, whoever they are, and to hold that up as a mirror, and it just helps me to look at myself again, you know. So biographies. I still am very keen on science and I love to read science. And so I probably wasn't like you in the sense that all I read was religious texts. But there is plenty out there to read that is nourishing and stimulating and challenging and beautiful.
Yeah.
And so there's plenty. Yeah, I guess I fell in love. I discovered poetry, which I had never had any time for. And there are moments there that I find nourishing. And I love anyone who's exploring something or challenging questions, asking questions. And so that's where philosophy for me comes into it. You have to be careful not to disappear up your own fundamental orifice after a while, but you have to – like, you've got to be grounded in it because you can become really dry and like I can, philosophical. But
yes.
Questions of why and whatever are more important to me than what. So, plenty to read.
Plenty to read. What about you, Mandy? Did you?
I was just thinking that I was the person that brought 50 Shades of Grey to my book club.
You brought it to me as well.
But I was always able to explore any books that I wanted. Yeah. So that wasn't really a change.
I did start reading fiction before I left the church. Yeah, I was an adult, I was like,
I think for me the massive thing was podcasts.
Yeah, okay.
And so when they arrived in my life, I was I can hear people's stories because I miss people's stories. Yeah. So I think podcasts just jumped out at me. That's why I love this so much because it kept me company. It got me to be thinking differently. It got the topics that I could choose. So I wasn't going to a church and then being told that this is the person that's speaking today.
Yes.
And I was thinking, I don't know anything about you, or I know that you've been cheating on your wife or something. There's all that stuff. So I think listening to podcasts was fantastic for me.
It's true, isn't it, that the human voice is in a way the most intimate sound we can hear. And to listen to someone speak and connect with them through their voice, it's a beautiful thing.
And and when you're busy and harassed, can I choose when I listen to it?
Yes, that's right.
And possibly exactly. If I don't agree,
and I think a lot of the times with lots of podcasts I listen to, even really big ones, occasionally they will reply.
Yeah.
Right? So it's more intimate.
Yes.
You know, and I know that if people email us or message us, eventually we usually get back to them and say thanks or whatever. And that's different because radio people don't do that and TV people don't do that.
Yeah.
And authors don't do that occasionally. But podcasters, we are connected. Yes. There's something about it and the community that listens. So yeah, it is. It is. Oh, it's magic. I love finding ones on topics that I like.
I have got so many.
Yeah, go.
Well, we talked about Humanize Me with Bart Campolo. I really love listening to him just because of the connection to his dad.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Tony Campolo speak a couple of years ago, and at the end people were asking, I thought, pretty boring questions. And I want to say, I love your son's podcast, but I didn't. But I should have, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, also a book that I read was called Searching for Sunday, and that was by a woman called Rachel Held Evans.
Oh, yes.
And she actually died a couple of years ago. But she wrote this book about leaving for a year and then how, and I just thought, Searching for Sunday, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
It was the first thing that I came across that was similar.
Yeah.
So that is a beautiful book. Rob Bell has the Robcast, and he's a very famous American. And he talks about all that stuff about how do you replace going to church, but still, how do people meet together? I think he started up like all this stuff in LA, like dinners that people could go to, but it would be like my choir. You wouldn't have to pray at the end.
You
know, because they're all the things that we lose.
That's why pub choir is so good.
Yes, exactly. My friends, Matt and Lucas, made a podcast years ago called Beyondering, and it was called Faith Out of Bounds. And they were sort of the first podcast that my brother wrote the song for them, I think. And so they were like, oh, people in my world that were doing a podcast that were Australian, that's still out there. Obviously, you can go to the spirituality section in your podcast, and there's hundreds of them, but there's some doozies in there. You know, because all the churches were like, let's put out all our sermons as podcasts every week now.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, Parenting Forward, which also has the Facebook group Raising Children Unfundamentalist. That's where Kate and I, well, I've been in there for a long time. And so it's sort of that idea of like we've grown up with faith, perhaps people are still in with faith, but how do we parent?
And even the people who've left, how do I respectfully do this?
Yeah, so kind. It's a really good group.
Which I think people think you go out and you're all guns blazing.
No.
We want to respect what we had and what other people have.
That's right. Our friend Kirsty from The Art of Decluttering, occasionally she speaks on a podcast called Greater Things, and that is with a guy here in Sydney, I think, too. So, and they do some exploring of reconstruction. So that's one of my – I did love the Dirty Rotten Church Kids, you know, they were so funny, but one of them was a Dirty Rotten Church Kid and basically wrecked their podcast.
I loved them.
They were so funny.
But you can probably still listen.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad.
It's
a very sad ending.
Yeah, it was because they were literally
doing some incredible work.
I just loved them. Their Instagram, everything they did, incredible. So
we obviously loved Crossbred.
Oh,
that was a really.
Have you listened to that, Gary?
No.
Oh, Gary, just give yourself a day.
ABC, right?
What's it called?
Crossbred.
It's I howled with laughter.
Well, it's fictionally set in the same suburb that my church was that I grew up with.
Yeah, and it's just the story of these people who aren't Christians but join a Christian rock band to try and win a competition. And it's so good, Gary. If you,
it's a great title.
Oh, it's such
so
a great
funny.
Title.
You'll be crying with laughter.
Oh, I just, Mandy and I, we're like messaging each other, what about this line? What about this line? It's just so good.
Obviously, there's heaps more. And you all are probably listening going, what about this? And what about that
we're
one?
Sorry.
We right? We can't cover everything. But there have been a few that have helped me, on the journey.
I think it was therapy that helped me because there was coming out of my church is so specific and it's 24 hours of your week that you have back. And I couldn't make it all right in my mind. And I went to my psychologist and she was actually had been brought up a Salvation Army and had left
herself. So she understood.
She really understood. And I remember her saying to me one day, you cannot believe what your parents believe and still be a good person. And I thought, I'm 34. Why don't I know this of myself? But I didn't. I didn't. So really basic childlike things that I was learning as a proper adult. So that's probably where I got most of my resources. And I actually really got stuck into feminism and learning about women and what women before me had done.
Yes.
And, like Annabelle Crabb's got a book, Wife Work.
Yes.
I got into Susan Masherat and she has The Mask of Motherhood. All these things. And I thought, yes, this is why none of this has made sense to me before because I wasn't equal growing up in a church, you know. Wives, submit to your husbands, all of this stuff. And it never felt right to me. So I found this whole other philosophy where I went, of course I'm equal, you know. I'm a human being.
That's right.
And I've, that really changed my life, I think, feminism.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
What about you, Gary?
We're talking about resources and so on.
Yep.
I mean, I mentioned Bart, and you have too. He came along for me at just the right moment.
Yes.
I couldn't describe my journey as being escaping trauma quite so much as it is for others. And so for me, it hasn't been as needed. I guess for me, the critical question was, well, what is going on? If it's not that, well, what is, you know, and am I wrong? You know, maybe the way it's put to me as a person of an evangelical modern faith is right. So so that's constantly been a question for me. So every time I can read anything that explores questions of meaning or questions of humanity, they have helped me a lot because I deliberately sought out people who were not people of faith to see what they had to say and found exactly the same impulses, exactly the same hopes and dreams, exactly the same fears, and some explanations, maybe not clear, but, you know, and so for me, seeking that out was helpful. Even, you know, and some of your listeners are probably going to hate me for saying this. I know you, the peas are so gorgeous, they wouldn't hate
never
anyone. But Christopher Hitchens, the atheist.
Oh, yep.
was very influential at an intellectual level for me. I do think he got a bit too militant and I don't think there's anything helpful about that. But his view of humanity, his view of social justice, his view of what vulnerable people, what we can do for vulnerable, those who are being, you know, abused or misused, coming from an atheist perspective, I found really enlightening because there was nothing to do with God in it. It was all about how we can be better for each other. And his dear friend, for example, Salman Rushdie, who has recently, as you know, been attacked again because of some very fundamentalist religion that has put out a death, you know, warrant on his head for writing the Satanic Verses. He's a lovely guy. He's funny. He's smart. He's a beautiful human being. And for him to be now lose an eye, to have his liver, you know, stabbed, to be almost killed. So Christopher Hitchens said that kind of event pointed out to me everything that I hate and everything that I love. And that helped me to clarify. So what is it that I do hate and what is it that I do love? And, you know, to hate blind religious fervor, killing in the name of God, all of those things up against friendship and freedom of for those who don't have it and advocating. So he was on the blacklist, obviously, for a Christian. Mm. Anybody who's an atheist, you don't read what they have to say.
No.
So for me, it was refreshing to deliberately dip my toe into that area and read some beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I found that too, really refreshing.
I was just thinking about, you know, you lose that place that you go to all the time. Mm. And the only other time that I feel somewhere where I feel like I belong is in the foyer at the Royal Children's Hospital.
Wow.
And so when I walk in there, it's really big. The roof is enormous.
Beautiful.
And it's sort of cathedral-like. And when I'm there, I think these are my people. And I think I'm getting scared because we're going to leave.
Definitely.
And so it's another place to leave. And I'm nervous about where we'll belong then.
It is a sacred space for sure.
Yeah, and when you're there at night time and the crowds aren't there and you just look at the other people in the eye and think, okay, you're my people.
Yeah. Oh, it's a very sacred place.
Yeah, it's
lots
a sacred
things
place.
Things have happened there that are, yeah, it is.
I don't know where that came from, but it just came out of me.
And that's
that's lovely.
We all want to belong.
Yeah.
That's the truth. So for some of us, church answers our questions and we get to belong there. But for some of us, it actually makes us feel less than, so we don't belong there. And then where do we belong if that's where we've been brought up? And if you haven't been brought up in a church, you're like, what is this? I can't explain it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like having a part of you removed. So it is a really big deal. But like I said, I feel like I got another part, which was... I think it's having the boys. Obviously, it happened to me at exactly the same time in my life, so I can't isolate it from each other, and it was because of them that I chose to not go to church. So, you know, but I also got the gift at that exact same time. I don't know if gift's the word, but of realizing every human is equal and has the same value, and I don't think I had that before. And I look at my children and I think they're just as important and worthy, even if they're never going to be leading out in a song service. And they're better, actually, I think. And they're more interesting and they're funny. And, I just could never go back to belonging there.
I suppose I'm just always yearning where to belong.
And maybe there won't be that place. I don't know, but I don't feel like I need it now.
Yeah, I feel like I need places to belong as a mother.
Yeah,
in this road less travelled, I definitely do.
Yeah,
and maybe why I'm enjoying being part of Special Olympics and being with my people there.
And look, there is no question that this thing you've created, this podcast, is a place of belonging and where people matter and where people can be, you know, and so be proud of what you are doing. And thank you for letting me be a part of it.
I love it.
I'm utterly flabbergasted by the energy that comes from the people who call themselves peas, of supporting each other, helping each other, appreciating each other.
It's incredible.
Why is this getting me emotional? I don't know. But
it's beautiful.
The two of you, like as an outworking of your journey, the two of you have created this thing that is truly special.
Thank you.
I actually think the church had a lot to do with it.
Oh, definitely. We knew how to do it.
We knew how to talk.
Yeah.
We knew how to. Yeah, we were
brought
up.
Bring people together.
You know, I was.
So did you ever say to each other along the way, this is church for the unchurched, or this is going to be like the things church, we would like church to be?
But plenty of people have said it to us. Well, they've said it to me.
Because it's kind of become that in a way, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And I suppose
that was never
our
intention.
No. Never. But I think it probably has filled a void because being at church, I was able to be like artistic.
And we both had voices, like yes. We had microphones.
Yes, yes. And then I didn't have one for a long time.
I mean, and all the same Mandy things happened. Like I'd forget words to songs on stage and I'd just be silent and laugh. Like I was the same person.
That's the Mandy we know and
yeah, love. You know what I mean? Yeah, like yeah. I did all of that stuff on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, can I say thank you for giving me a voice because that's what I feel you've given me.
I'm so glad.
And,
so glad.
And the dads who talk to me yes. as well. But
amazing.
But from a personal perspective, one of the things I lost that was probably the most dear to me was my voice.
Yes. Mm.
I was called upon regularly to speak to either in a formal sense or informal.
Mm.
And while I do cringe at the things that I did say many times, equally I felt that it was something I could do and made
and you're
a difference.
Good at it.
Yep. Mm. You're really good
and
at
I
it.
And I could be good at it.
You are. Know?
Yep.
And once I was out of any kind of church arrangement, there were no opportunities to speak. So I did miss that.
Yes. We all did. Yeah.
So
we just made our own. Not to be nice.
And then you invited me to be part of it.
We did, Gary, and I'm so thrilled.
It's been
I'm so thrilled.
So
we need your voice, right?
We do. We need all the voices. Yeah. But yeah, it's been amazing, actually, having the beans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love it.
Incredible.
And just some different, you know, difference.
Perspectives.
Yeah. It's been really, really good.
Well, thank you. We could do this forever and perhaps we'll come back for a part three in another time. I don't know.
I don't know.
But we are going to do our Laugh, Cry, Make a Difference together.
Are.
Gary is joining in.
Yes.
So what we thought we'd do, well, I just thought about it yesterday, really. Doesn't sound like a huge planning effort. Was could our theme be around times that we cried and we laughed or we made a difference within our church life?
Yep.
So, okay, who wants to go first with the cry?
You go, Mandy.
Well, I remember, this is a painful, that someone in our church said, you wouldn't want to have twins in this church because another friend of mine had a difficult time.
Very difficult. She lost a baby.
Yeah. And it was just awful.
Terrible thing to say. Terrible.
And I remember thinking... What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
These are my pride and joy.
I love them so much. And that was a horrific thing to say. And you can tell because it's like 15 years later or 16, 17 years later and it still has the same impact today. So, and I know we all make mistakes with our words.
Of course, me too.
Oh, all the time. But
I can never forget that.
But that... She should have realised the minute it came out of her mouth.
It wasn't said to me, thank goodness.
Yeah, but still... It should have been, yeah. Well, it shouldn't have been said. Some things just shouldn't be said.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I'm sharing that because.
Well, we all learn things.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Just think it. That's what I said to a group of people late. I sent a message to my friends and I said, I know you're talking about me behind your back. Could you just think it? I don't want it to get back to me. Just be like normal people. Or typical people. Anyway, and they all laughed. But
what about Gary? Do you have a little cry or a moment of emotion?
Well... There were many times, of course, say conducting a funeral or whatever, you know, I wasn't very good with boundaries often and would become quite tangled up in the emotion.
Of course, but that's how it should be.
That's true. And it was, it had to be done. Somebody was doing it and I was doing it. But I would always put on this particular, this is in the days of tapes, a tape in the car on the way away from the funeral parlor. That always triggered my emotions and I'd have a good howl in the car, you know,
so important.
Or I went to the next appointment so that I could get it out. And, that became, now I can't hear that song without it to me.
No.
But I think probably the biggest cry I ever had in my church experience was when we went through a huge split in the church. And this was new to me that churches could even be like this.
Yes.
I was a once born soul in terms of churches at that point. And, you know, the ugliness, the brutality of people's attitudes to each other, this the selfishness, the dishonesty that was clothed in religious talk and, oh, we only want what's best and what God wants, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
Tearing a bunch of people in half felt like it was tearing my heart in part in half.
Yes.
In two, I can vividly remember standing in one of the vestries, the side rooms after one of these brutal meetings and Tamara just standing there with her hand on my shoulder while I wept, you know.
Yeah.
And what came out of that was a good thing in the sense that I did become a twice-born soul. I guess I became more realistic.
Yes.
And I realised that churches are people and people are people. Yes. Nothing changes there.
Yes, true.
A friend of mine has been a minister for many years says if somebody ever comes up to him and says, I'm disillusioned, Pastor, his first response is, well, really, what kind of illusion were you operating under? Because it's true, illusioned? It was an illusion. It was an illusion. The church is somehow different than any other gathering of humans.
Of course not. No,
so just that people. That was my cry.
Yeah.
What about you, Kate?
The biggest cry I had at church was when I was 15, one of the boys at our church committed suicide and he had a stutter and his family was really unfortunate. And I wouldn't say that he was teased at church, but I wouldn't say that he was deeply loved. And I just remember going to that funeral and seeing his photo and just howling and thinking, what have we done? This whole community has let him down, really let him down. There are people here that should have known better. His family was tricky, you know, and his mum just couldn't, you know, stand up. And I remember people saying, like, basically, he's never going to go to heaven now because he's killed himself.
Oh, my God.
And how I could reconcile that with his grief and his parents. Like, obviously, he'd been so sad. And I just cried and cried and cried. And then the next, like, so that might have been on a Wednesday. And then we went back to church on the Saturday and the coffin wasn't there anymore. And there was a big bunch of flowers and we were singing Shout to the Lord. And I just thought, this is how this can't be right. We should still be mourning this life, you know? And I remember crying that next Saturday too and thinking, what's going on? Why are we all singing? He's still dead, you know? And why did we have his coffin in our church just for an hour? You know, that was the extent of that celebration of his life.
Yes.
And I still actually struggle with funerals at churches. I just don't think that you should have a coffin up the front of the church and then the family comes back the next week and everyone else has moved on and they haven't.
Oh, gosh.
Did not allow my dad's.
Yes.
I said, we're having a graveside and then you can have a service here, but I'm not walking back in and remembering that coffin up there.
Yes.
So, you know, I know it's different for other people, but for me, I was triggered by that as a 15-year-old and thought, I can't do it. But that was my church cry. Sorry, they're all very heavy.
That's okay.
Week.
Make a difference for me is all the people who've stayed by my side and seen the Mandy of many incantations. The Mandy of this time, the Mandy of that time, the swearing Mandy, the crying Mandy, the Mandy who started a podcast, the Mandy who wrote a book, the Mandy who's all the things, right? So everyone who stood by me and remain my friends, I'm thank you. And my family and have just loved me and come to all those appointments and all the surgeries and cooked and cleaned and had my back. No one can be more supported than me. I have been incredibly supported. And that's why I'm can do this today.
Yeah, that's right.
So all of you out there that have had every Mandy's back, I thank
you. Church can do that.
Yes.
It really can.
And I really thank you all.
Yeah. What about you, Gary?
And you've made a difference in their lives too, Mandy, I'm quite sure. Look, I there's so many over the years to think through. I was thinking of something where I felt I'd made a difference rather than someone had made a difference for me, if that's all right. Because I could say similar things about people who've supported me.
Pump yourself up, Gary.
Well, I remember I was surprised to be asked at one point to speak about how the church should deal with divorce.
Right.
Because I was being asked on the basis that I had been divorced.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a lovely gesture of grace to say, all right, well, what do you think? So I was able to just, I didn't say very much at all, except that I think I was in a culture where divorce was considered a sin. Yes. And divorce was considered, right. You know, you were somehow lesser. And if you remarried, oh, my God. No, you know,
you're married in the eyes of God.
Going to go to hell forever and all that stuff.
Yep.
So divorce became this one of the many things that you cannot do or be. And having been through it, and I was still in ministry, and I'd been allowed to continue in ministry, was a great act of grace to me. At that time, that was life-saving to me. And I just said, you know, if you see the world as, you know, legally through law, God's law, you will inevitably try to solve anybody's problems with a legal solution. You know, you'll try to work out, you'll talk about forgiveness, you'll talk about evidence, and you'll talk about who to blame, and you'll talk about compensation, et cetera. But if you see the world as a beating heart, and you see the world as flesh that can be torn and harmed, you'll see the world as a place for through healing eyes. You'll look for healing solutions. You'll look for things that bind up wounds. Anyway, so I did all of that. And then I was in the in a shop a couple of weeks later, and this lady who was serving, she said, oh, you don't know me. I have to tell you, you know, I have never felt that I was appreciated or understood until you said all of those things. Oh. And
yeah, that's
you know, huge. That happened to me years later.
Yes.
With lots of people who would say to me things that I'd forgotten I even said.
Yes.
And they would say, that one thing you said changed everything for me. And I thought, yeah, okay, I feel grateful that I can be given a chance and sometimes say something right.
Of course.
I said some things very unright as well.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, and for me, I think even though people may think I'm slightly disorganized, I learnt a lot of organizational skills at a really young age.
Yes.
Like at 19, I was running children's divisions and coordinating youth groups and ringing people to join committees.
Yes.
And I look at my own children and think, what?
Yeah.
You were a child.
Yes.
But actually, I ended up having kids early and it stood me in good stead to cope with my life.
Yeah.
So I think it made a huge, huge difference. And I think, as I sort of said before, it has allowed me to be who I am and stand up when things in my life are different. And so I have had a completely different parenting journey than I thought I would have. But I think the backbone of growing up being different has allowed me to be different and be
okay.
Yes, I
think so too, yes.
So in a weird way, it sort of worked out.
Yeah.
And to stand up for what you believe in.
And you're not going to talk about my children like that.
Yes.
And we're not going to have a school that's like that. And
That makes complete sense.
Yeah. Mm. What about laughing Mandy Hose?
Okay, so I've got a few of these.
How many has she got? Buckle in, people. Okay.
Well, this one I think is funny. But when I was in year 12, we did health and human development.
Yep.
And my friend Rebecca said, why don't we count how many periods we've had? So we all counted how many periods we'd had. And then I was an early adopter to getting my period. And so I think I was about 18 or 19. And so I had a 100th period party.
Yep.
Right. Sorry, Gary. This is a bit much. But I was before my time.
You were.
Mum and Dad went away. I put up red balloons. I had cocktail frankfurts, red drinks, invited all my girlfriends over and said we're going to celebrate being a girl.
A woman, yeah, it's incredible.
And being a woman. Like that was in 1995.
Yeah, yeah.
Who taught me to do that? I do
don't
not
know.
Know. Anyway, so can you imagine when the church got a hold of that? Apparently there was meetings about whether I should be a youth group leader.
You're kidding.
Of course there was.
Of course there was. Yeah. Anyway, wonderful people stood up for me. Thank you. They know who they are. And I was at the time mentoring a girl before she was getting baptized. So I was doing all the, I mean, who would choose me? I don't even know anything. I can't remember anything in the Bible, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I rang her to organize when we were going to meet up. And her dad answered the phone and he said, I'll go and get her. And he called out her name. I've told you 100 times that Mandy's on the phone waiting for you. And I'll never forget it. Because I was like, imagine all those parents talking about me.
Oh, yeah. And you imagine the parent, you were the mentor for their child.
Oh, that is, in the same vein, when I was worship leading, I did email the senior minister and I said, every time I'm on the roster, I'm premenstrual.
Can we change it?
You need to change it because I am crying. I am tired. I get migraines. And so every time I'm on the roster, you're getting that Mandy.
Back
so away. If you want to, if you want to, the best Mandy, maybe 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And what was his response?
He just, I don't even think he replied. I think it just got changed.
Oh, no.
He had lots of daughters, so I felt fine about that. But can you imagine?
Oh,
I mean,
no.
I was a hoot.
Yes. Well, you were the little bit of refreshment they needed.
But it was true. I was like, I can't do this at this stage every month. I have to tell you. So there you go, people.
Yeah. What about you, Gary?
I'm just trying to think if I'd got that letter as your answer.
I reckon you would have read it to your wife. Listen to this.
Well, it just seems to me, okay, sure, she wants to be on the different fortnight. Let's do that. Yeah, I get it. She's, periods, whatever. Women have them. Interesting.
I think I was quite before my time.
Oh, yeah.
I think I was trying to say.
Especially when you get migraines and you.
Yeah, I can't
terrible.
Do this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah.
And to me, it just seems like it's
logical.
Obvious. But I can see the funny side of it. I especially like the parties. Yeah, that's a good idea. That was good.
Start them, people. Look, let's have a chain.
Yeah.
So many laughs over the years, but a lot of them are in jokes.
Yes,
you know, you kind of had to be there, sort of jokes and things that happened. But this was the most recent was just when, and I think I told you this when you were interviewing me last year for my episode. Mm. My kids had never really seen me on the platform in a church preaching. They'd never seen that part of my life. And we hadn't talked about it much, but just wasn't part of the landscape. Anyway, so my sister, my younger sister died about 4 years ago, and I was doing the tribute for her at the service, and we were all there at that same church where I had been, and I was able to just do that for her, dressed in a suit, you know, the whole bit.
Yeah.
And I went after the service. I went up to Christopher, and he said, "You know, Dad, I can just see you up there making religion look good." That's how he summed up 30 years of my career, my life, standing up on a platform, making religion look good.
Yeah.
So cute.
It was lovely. It was a great comment.
What
a comment. Oh,
brilliant.
Yeah, I have a lot of laughs from being at church too. I mean, some of the funniest moments of my life happened at church.
Yep.
But I think now looking back, the thing that I think was really funny was we had – so the Seventh-day Adventist Church used to have big conventions. We call them Big Camp.
Yes. Yeah.
And we had them in January every year in just near here in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne. And it's so weird. I'm sorry for friends that are listening, but massive, big, huge tents.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone camps in a tent in suburbia.
Yeah.
Right? They've got like 20 acres in the middle of all houses.
It's normal, Kate.
It's just so weird. And
it's
we're all cooking our food.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Anyway, and you go to meetings every day for a week. It'd be like Friday to Saturday, like, you know. Anyway, so we were at Big Camp and I was just chatting to my friend next to me. I loved it because Mum didn't come to my church.
Right.
She went to the older people's church and we went to the youth church.
Yep.
And chatting, we're having a really big chat, and my boyfriend was actually sitting behind me with his friends. And all of a sudden, I just realized there was a real mood around me and that people were standing up, but we'd missed the question.
Uh-oh.
So obviously someone had been like, "Stand up if you want to give your heart to Jesus," or, you know. Anyway, so my friend, she just stood up, and I was like, "I'm not standing up if I don't know. What if I'm offering to go on a mission trip or something, you know?"
Yeah.
And then my boyfriend just like
Uganda.
Poked me in. Yeah, you know. I could be going to Uganda.
Bring your toothbrush.
Book of Mormon reference.
Sorry.
Anyway, my boyfriend like pushed me in the back. He's like, "Stand up, stand up." And I was like, "Why?" And he goes, "They're asking who wants to be a virgin when they get married." And everyone was just looking at me, just brazenly sitting there. Not me. And at 15, big deal.
Oh, my gosh. What a question.
What a question. Oh, as if anyone's going to sit
except
Kate.
Stand
who's
up.
Not even listening.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so now I'm just like, oh
so funny. I know, but if you don't grow up the church, you don't have all these funny stories.
No,
jeepers.
I don't know.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary, for your voice
thank you
in this.
Yes. Thank you. People have Thank asked you for having a long me. Time.
Yeah. And we're going to do a snap pee with everybody's speak pipes and emails.
Yes,
because
we
did ask you to do that. Yep, and so that is coming.
It is. It was just a little bit tricky to put it in with all of this. So, yeah, tech, that will come out right? in the next couple of weeks. Thing.
So, yeah, we will definitely do that.
Yeah. If you are deconstructing, Tom Tilley's just written a really good book that I've nearly finished, and it's called Speaking in Tongues.
Yes.
And he's from Triple J. He is now just doing other media. He has podcasts himself, but he talks about his dad was in a very fundamentalist
yes.
Pentecostal religion, and he grew up being different. And his story of deconstruction is incredible. It's a really good book.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Get onto it.
So we will let you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Back to regular programming.
Back to
next
regular
week.
P week next week,
Thanks,
we promise.
Everyone.
See you. Bye.
Bye for now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.